I'm not more important than anyone here. I'm just a pastor. So my job is to bring the word, and it's a massive privilege. And if you're here for the first time, there's a lot of people I don't know. Just sit back. This is our family. We do things maybe the same as your family, maybe a bit different, but you know what? You're welcome. And family is awesome. Amen? Jy weet, by partye huise mag jy jou hande was by die wasbak in die kombuis. Okay? By ander huise mag jy nie. But it's okay. Both still families, both valid. So, if you feel, wow, that's new, you know what? Enjoy our home. And you're so welcome. Amen? I just want to pray for myself before I start, because I need it. Father, I want to just thank you that you are a father. And I want to thank you, Lord, for every time you refer to yourself as a father. And I want to thank you for every story in the Bible that shows your care for us, that shows that we are a family and you are the Father. Thank you for what we can take from that. Thank you for how you can touch us in our hearts and heal wounds from the past, Lord. We give every heart to you. We belong to you. Don't you just want to say, while our eyes are closed, just where you sit, say, Lord, you may speak with me tonight. You may speak to me, just in your own words. Maybe you haven't been to church in a while and you're like, oh, wat gaan nou gebeur? Just relax. Say, Lord, you may speak with me. Just give him permission. Amen. I just want to say, as any healthy church works a bit like a planned diet in a week, okay? There's sometimes you eat breakfast in church, other times you eat lunch, other times you eat supper, and you don't eat the same stuff every night. Some of us, okay, McDonald's, elke aand. Most families doesn't work like that, all right? You've got different stuff, and you've got fish, and you've got chicken, you've got more veggies, and as any rooi vleis is, yes, you might a bit dig back. But that's how it works with diet. But in the same way, it works a bit like that with church. We need to ask ourselves over a year, what do we need to get through in the pulpit? What do we need to preach on? Okay? Because we can't preach one message every week. Christ must be in every message. Amen? But sometimes we need to talk about discipline. Other times we need to talk about what we do tonight, sonship. I'll explain it a bit more in a second. Other times we need to just preach through a Bible book. So, if you're visiting us tonight, what we are busy with tonight, okay, what we are eating tonight, is a topic we call sonship. And we started with it previous week, and we're carrying on with it. If we can, yeah, tonight, last time we looked a bit at the prodigal son. I just quickly want to share a few thoughts. Everyone knows the story of the prodigal son, almost everyone. And our main point from our last sermon was this. The prodigal son had an encounter with God, and he came back to his father. Are you with me? The father did not have an encounter with God, all right? The father, which is an analogy for God, was perfect from the start. But when the son came back home, he came home to a different father. Why? Because he changed. All right? So when he came back home, he had a blast. There was a feast for him. He got a ring, got a robe. Everything was great, and he loved his dad. Why? Did his dad change? No. He changed. And what we are saying, if you talk about sonship, what it means for us, just in broad terms, because this is a big topic, okay? This is for a big book, all right? What sonship means is each one of us, as we come to God, as he calls you, and for each one, there's a voice drawing you nearer, that you've got the decision whether you want to become a son to the perfect father, right? There's some people in this world that will refer to God as a bad father. That's their experience. That's where their heart's at. But then there's people worshiping the same God as Savior. Does God have two faces? No. He's the same, right? Perfect, good, and loving father. But I did not know that until my heart turned and changed. And I said, Lord, you are my father. So in one sense, each of us must become a son. Are you with me? All right. Now, just hold on. I said that last time as well. This son doesn't mean it's only for the guys. All right? Okay? It means it includes all of us. Where sonship comes from is in the old times, the son would inherit from the father. All right? But what we now know is all of us, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, is a fellow heir. What do you get? Eternal life. God imparts something into your heart. He's got gifts for you. He's got a calling for you, whether you are male or female. So the term for it is sonship, all right? But we, every now and then, if I remember, I'll refer to daughters as well. But are you with me with that? Is that okay? No one offended? No woman, ladies in the house that wants to sing a song or something to stand up for your rights? Okay, awesome. I'm just joking. I know you know my heart. Apparently it's a theme. It's like women singing songs of freedom or something. But you know we love you. Hey, ladies, you know we love you. We treat you as God's own daughters. And you know what? It's true what I say. God uses all of us. And sometimes there's a thing maybe where you feel, yeah, but you know what? The guys, I'll tell you what, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. He's imparted a gift in you. The Bible says each one received a gift. Use it. Minister it. We need the gifts that God has imparted to the women in this church. Amen? That wasn't part of the sermon, but just know that. You guys are so important. That's why you have Awakened. Such cool stuff. And we only have prize at the men game. Let's go on. I talked about rubbish. Psalm 68 verse 6, it says, God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. That last part is not nice. But God makes a home for the lonely. Now, in one sense, the Bible is clear. Each one of us start out. Starting position is the same. It's apart from God. Okay, we don't start off with God in our life. We start off separated from Him. We are born in sin. So for each one of us, each one born separated from God, there's a place made where you can come closer to Christ. Okay, He sets the lonely in families. The great thing about that is, doesn't matter whether at this moment you have a mom and a dad. If you have them, love them, celebrate them, cherish them, they are a gift. But you know what? God gives family to every person. So you may not have parents, but let me tell you what, every single thing that you can get in a home where there's a loving mom and dad, you can get right here in God's family. Did you know that? That's how God planned His church. In fact, some of you will experience family more real in a home like this than in your own home. Maybe there was abuse. Maybe it was verbal abuse, physical abuse. Maybe there was neglect. We all come from different homes. Maybe your experience at home was great. Okay? But the fact is, God loves to take care of every single person. So He builds a family and He sets lonely people in it. Amen? Talking about sonship, I'm just giving you a bit of a background before we go on. I had this on last time as well. The battle for your faith, okay, or the battle for your life, the battle for your future, will be fought on the plains of lies and truths. What you believe about God your Father and what you believe about yourself will determine how you live and where you go. Right? That's why God gives us His Word, and His Word is called the Word of Life. All right. So in the same way that you have a decision to step into a family, God sets a lonely in family. In families, you have a decision whether you're going to take God's word along with the power of the Holy Spirit that's given to us and change the way you think, the way you live, make an absolute turnaround. And I'm not excluding us who chose to serve Jesus a few years back. We need to make those decisions continuously. Amen. We want to remain fresh and radical for Christ. But I want to say, there's no hopeless situation. There's only hopeless people. Alright? There's no hopeless situations. Only hopeless people. But there's a place where we engage with God as a son or a daughter where hope just comes into every situation. Is there an area in your life? Okay, is there one area in your life where you don't have a shining hope? That's the area God wants to focus on. Amen? Still just putting a background here. This scripture has come on I think more than 50% of sermons this year, and I had to put it up again. I think it's something we must take for ourselves for this year, because God is saying it over and over to us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. Now, I'm going to work towards giving you three victories, okay, that God gives to His sons and daughters. Right now, I'm just giving you a broad picture of where we're going. Why is this important? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are created by God. We're saying this over and over. He knows you. He planned you. Why? For certain good works. Before the earth began. That means there is certain stuff you won't be able to do. I want to say that as well. Because you specifically planned for good works. Some of the stuff that I will be able to do with a grace on my life, I will be able to do. You won't. But the same the other way around. You are prepared, designed by God. You're His workmanship. He made you. All right? I want you to know, because we're hitting onto sonship here. You are made by God for a reason. That's why, just plainly, that's why we cannot find joy and life satisfaction or contentment without God. It's not possible. You keep on seeking. It's like a hamster on a wheel. It just goes, goes, goes. Next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. Next situation, next passion, next relationship. It never stops. We cannot find what our heart deep within us long for without finding Christ. Alright? Because He made us. And the moment we connect with Him in that deep, deep sense in our spirit, it's only then that we realize, oh, something clicks here. I understand now why I'm here. Does that make sense? Okay, we're just hanging a backdrop here. That's my boy making trouble there at the back. Please excuse the abash. Okay, before we head into what God imparts to us as we become sons, check this out. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Very important. Check this out again. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I want to share something with you, and I want you to get this. Okay? And once you get it, work with that revelation. You will not find who you are, and you will not find contentment. What's contentment in Afrikaans? Tevredenheid, né? In your life, if you don't become a person who gives. Because stuff is placed in you, right? You're His workmanship. You were made to give, all right? And the enemy with his lies, remember, whatever you believe, that's what influences how you live. All right? This whole world is set up for you to gather and to take. Everything. The media, Facebook, ads, movies, everything is up to finding your perfect love. Finding your perfect car. Finding your happy ending. Everything is geared. And if you fall into that trap, game over. All right? Because you cannot get to that place where you feel you're making a difference in this world and you cannot become what He made you to be. We are called to overflow, which means stuff moves away from us. Okay? Whether that's your love, your heart that gives, whether it's your finances, it goes somewhere. Stuff happens. It comes out of you. And you know the thing about a fountain? It doesn't run dry. Okay? You're called to be a fountain, not a dam. All right, and that's where we're heading tonight. These three things, if we go to the next slide, that He teaches His sons and daughters, is three things that helps you stay a fountain. Okay? That helps you to give. Get closer to the place where God wants you to be. Now, just a disclaimer. Each one of us, this is not stuff you get right once and for all. Okay? You grow in them. All right? What's important is that God starts with a work in your life. See it a bit like a tree. What's important is that the tree is there. It's okay. The tree goes through seasons. There's sometimes when you suck at something. All right? But you know what? You find your feet. You talk to God. You get it right again. It's okay to make mistakes. Sometimes you need to get pruned. Other times you need to change the soil where a plant is planted, stuff like that. Plants don't grow around me. They all die. So, but I understand the analogy, so I can talk about it. But don't give me a plant or anything green, because give me like chocolates, chips, just a hint. Okay. Any case, I'm talking a lot of nonsense, and I haven't even started with rugby examples, so I need to contain and train myself here. Three things. There's a lot more. Sonship, books and books. Okay, I'm trying to plant a seed in your heart. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 connects again with Ephesians 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2 verse 10 that we just had on said, you are his workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here's Jeremiah 1 verse 5 stating basically the same thing. Before I formed you, in the womb I knew you. Okay. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Okay? To consecrate in Afrikaans is om toe te wy. Okay? That means before you were born, God consecrated you unto something. Okay? Think of a big factory that makes different things. Okay? Only this is the factory of heaven. It's glorious. It's not like Sasol. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right? And then God designs you in a specific way and he consecrates you unto that purpose. This is what I made Johan for. I made him for this. And God sees that fountain that's going to overflow. He says, I made you. Only I can put you together so that you overflow. So what is God doing? He's calling you in. Come. Come to me. Let me change you and be your father. Let me just say this. This is not just to say that you must come and give your life to God. That's where we start. But you know what? I can have a father, but I can still have a bad relationship with my father. Are you with me? We're talking about coming closer. Doesn't matter where you are. Come nearer. There's a father. Come, go sit on his lap, okay? Come closer. He's waiting for you. I've consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Appointed you unto something. First thing I want to say, it's not going to be long tonight, but I want your best brains, all right? He teaches us who we are, okay? This is so simple, but it is so powerful. Who are you? Okay? Can you answer that question? Who are you? Or if I can state it in Afrikaans, wie is jy en wat maak jy? Okay? Who are you? Because you know, he wants to show you who you are. By the way, I just want to say, we're going to have an awesome Foundation 3. We're almost full. I think we've got two or three spots left if anyone wants to come. We help you with this. Okay? Because he wants to show you who you are. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. That is so powerful. When you step into who you are made to be, a lot of effort falls from your shoulders. It's that moment when you cease to try and be someone else. You know how much pressure that puts on someone? Try and be someone else. Try and act like someone. Try and look like someone. And it's interesting. Look at the back. That last part. It says, I worked harder than them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. When you step into who he made you to be, there's something that becomes easy. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. You will have challenges. Don't worry. But there's something about your identity that starts to flow. Hey, this is who I am. And yet, how makkelijk can you fail? Okay, you're like, okay, God, this is why I struggle with that. Hey, but I'm actually kind of good with that. I realize this comes through me easy. That's very hard. Now I realize why the people don't want me to sing and they rather put Cole and Carla there because I'm not shaped for that. Stop trying to be Cole and Carla. There's something else you can do. There's a peace that comes with, oh, I don't have to be as good as everyone with everything. No. You're different, okay? God has shaped you. Now, I want to play with one or two thoughts here. If we can go to that next slide. I want to tell you everything, remember, the temptation of the enemy comes through lies and deception, something that's planted in your head, okay? But now, we're going to move on to renewing your mind next week. I'm going to teach you what to do when you recognize a lie comes into your head. But before we know God, we don't have any defense. What the enemy plants becomes ours. And we said it last week. Remember, anything that gets planted in your mind, okay? Oh, that woman, I like her, but she's already married. We use that example, okay? That's not your thought, okay? The enemy, he comes up with stuff like that, the devil. But, okay, give me that book from you, if he hands it to you and you take it, it becomes yours. All right? Lies and deceptions is planted in your mind by the enemy. And when you take it, it becomes yours. It didn't come from you. But if you make a home for it, it stays with you. Or are you with me? Okay? Now, one of the things that's planted in our direction constantly is this. There's something wrong with you. Okay? That's what the magazine say. There is something wrong with you. And then there's a picture of some other woman that hasn't eaten for a few weeks. But there's a product. Okay? If you get this thing, don't worry, your problems are solved. Are you with me? There's something wrong with you. Same with the guys. We get it just in a different way. Magazines and this is what men should look like. And then there's this massive dude with a perfect body. And then there's this. If you get that thing, you'll be sorted. Okay? It never stops. For some of us, there's that Hilux ad. Okay? It's spinning and it's dirt and there's a scar point. And then it says something about, this is how you live life. But that's just, I don't know. I mean, to live, you need to eat. Okay? And drink water. But now, life. You know, and it gets us. Okay? We laugh, but you know what I'm talking about. You're never ready. You're never happy. Never content. We don't know who we are. So we buy that thing we cannot afford. Now we're in trouble financially. All right? Now, check this out. God wants us to grow. All right? That means if you love God, Toy, and I know he does, you will be different next year than this year. Does everyone agree? But I want you to see there's a difference between changing to be accepted and growing because I am accepted. Very important. When you are a son of God, it's like you are complete. It's like the dust has settled. You breathe and you're free. Your shoulders. Whew. And when you get up from there to change the world, what drives you is the love of God. All right? And you grow. You become more like Christ. All right? You want to change because you know He loves you so much. You know your Father is perfect. And you know He loves you. You don't need to fight for His love, but you want to grow and you want to just express your love for Him more and more. Are you with me? You will change. Let's call that growing. But there's something different. It's to change, to be accepted. I'm constantly trying to figure out who am I. Okay? You might change the way you look the whole time because I'm trying to, should I be like this person or that person? Maybe you try the way you talk. Maybe you try and, I don't know, drive a different vehicle, but you're constantly trying to be, you want to move away from who you actually are. Stop that tonight. Because you know what? You're putting on bricks on your back and it's going to weigh you down. You are His workmanship. Created just the way you are. Alright? Does it make sense? Ladies, just, you know what I'm saying is, I'm not saying make yourself pretty. Are you with me? You get the heart? Please do. But you are you, alright? Make yourself beautiful. It's awesome to have you guys. And by the way, all of you look beautiful tonight. But you are you. And there's something about you that's awesome, okay? And be free and just go to bed tonight and be happy. Because you don't have to go to bed and worry that you're not perfect in this way, that way. You're His workmanship. He is satisfied. So for the ladies, in that sense, it's to come closer, breathe and accept. For the guys, you don't have to be Superman, okay? Or Pac-Man or Batman or whatever, okay? You don't have to be the Godfather. You're a son. You mess up, okay? Omelet voeten van clay, all right? If you think I'm kind of perfect, you're making a big mistake. Visit my wife, she will tell you quickly. All right? Ek het voete van klei. Ek maak foute, jy maak foute. Just take it, okay? But now, when you grow with God, because you are accepted, the pressure is off. Because love never imposes, it inspires. Which means you do grow. You do get better at stuff. You do celebrate, and it's okay. People come to you and say, you did so well, and you do the champagne thing or sushi or whatever you do, and you celebrate because you've grown. But you know what? The pressure is off. You're not doing it to be accepted because you are already accepted. I'm saying it over and over from different directions because it's so important. Make sense, everyone? Number one is like, trying to be, you put effort in to be who you're not. Alright? Where number two is, you are growing in who you are. It's like that tree that's small that just becomes bigger and not trying to be a different type of tree. Alright? Number one is blocking your well. Okay? That fountain. When number one is taking my effort, my mind, my worries, and my finances, it is blocking my well. It is becoming about me. Are you with me? Number two is about overflowing. How can I give more, Lord? How can you grow me to be a person that when I engage with groups of people, there's something that goes to them. Love, kindness, acceptance. Hey, spiritual challenge, honest friendship. It's also sometimes hard stuff. But you know what? It grows people. So it's love. You create it in the image of God. And let me tell you what Paul said this in one of his letters. He said, and so that I may be found in Him. If you want to grow in God, you need to look into the face of Jesus. It's the only place. Because within Him, you created in His image. So you look at Him and that's where you find yourself. Okay? Can I move on from this point? Everyone with me? Or Sam? Tik die maatje langs jou en sê, jy's hot stuff. Okay, number two. We only have 3 points, so we... For the manne wat nie meer kan wag vir koffie nie, byt net vas, boys. Number two, He inspires us unto a purpose. Okay? These things are changed, they're interlinked, they work together. Okay? He helps you to breathe in and breathe out and love who you are so that you can get up and change the world. Okay? If you cannot move past step number one, your life is about fixing you. All right? But you will never be fixed. Okay? But the blood of Christ fills up every problem. Alright? So we can just go and He grows us as we go. Now at number two, He inspires us unto a purpose. Please read with me. Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfect. Okay, can you see that? Ja, maar ek moet nog eers, no. Jy moet nog eers niks. Alright? He loves you. Okay? In the meanwhile, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. For now, I'm moving forward. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Very important. I want to ask you here before I go on, are you stationary or are you moving? Don't worry right now about your speed. Okay, are you going forward? It's easy to turn a moving boat or a vehicle. When you're stationary, dangerous. All right? Are you moving or are you stationary? Check this out. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? I press forward towards the goal. There's something I'm moving towards. Now, let's go to the next slide. In the same way that I can change myself to be accepted or grow because I am accepted, the same goes for doing stuff. I can also be driven to do stuff so that I may be accepted or validated. This is a bit more difficult to get because we're talking about in the heart. What's going on here in the heart? Or I'm engaged in Christ. I know He loves me. It's settled. There's no weight on my shoulders. But now I engage in a purposeful living because I am loved. All right? Can you see the difference? Now, if we go to the next slide. Two words that starts with a P. The one is purpose and the one is performance. Alright? Now, if you remember the oldest son in the story of the prodigal son, the moment his brother comes back, he says, but I've done this, I've done that. What are you saying? I'm also trying to be a son. I'm trying to earn the right to be a son. By the way, both sons is lost. Alright? In that story. Go read it tonight if you want to. Luke 15. Both are lost in different ways. One comes to himself, comes home. The other one says, but Father, I've been doing this at home and this at home and that at home. But now the one who's come home, whose heart's changed, has stepped into sonship. He's realized, hey, my Father loves me. I'm going to come in and be a son. I'm going to love my dad. I'm going to sit with him in the evenings after dinner and we're going to talk father to, because I've missed my dad. Then there's the other son. He's trying to be a son, working, doing different stuff, tiring himself up for his dad's affection. All right? If you go back to the previous one, he's doing number one. Can we go just to one slide back? The oldest brother, all the way through the story, was driven to do stuff so that he may be accepted. That is a lie. I want you to see this. Why does God the Father love you? Because every little mistake in you, every thought, everything you've done wrong, and everything that you will do wrong, is covered in the blood of Christ. And it is perfect. Okay? So the truth is this. Let me say this. Even if you do nothing for God, He loves you. That's a dangerous thing for me to say as a pastor because I want you to do stuff because you're amazing at stuff. But let me say this. If you do nothing, if everyone in the band just drops this church, no one makes coffee, no one makes snacks, God will not love you less. That's obviously the truth. Okay? Because the sacrifice of Christ is perfect. But you see, when the son comes home, he says, but Father, I want to serve now in this house. Okay? It's not that I want to play in the band so he may love me, that he might love me more. No. I want to serve my dad. I want to be with him. I want to love him. I want to exchange love with him. And that's what I want to impart to you. When it comes to your purpose, your workmanship, what you've made to do, do it because you love to spend time with your father. Do it with passion because you're enjoying the work of your dad. He loves you already. Amen? Purpose, not performance. Performance is normal. Is normally stuff where you get a score, okay? I'm going to do this. And so when you're done, you're like, you're waiting for the verdict. Was it good? Was it bad? Did I suck? Okay? Or did I achieve well? Okay? Olympics, gymnastics, oh, there she goes, spinning in the air, land. Okay, now the score comes. That's performance. Okay? Purpose is different. Purpose is where the limelight actually is not on me. No one sees me on the TV. There's no score coming my way. I'm doing something, and I hope when the fruit comes up, all the glory goes to God. And it's actually amazing because I can do nothing, all right? But He can do great things through me. So the moment I step away from performance, there's a pressure that falls off my shoulders of my life. Test yourself. What you're doing, are you carrying a heavy load? Or are you experiencing God working through you? Are you busy with performance? Or are you busy with purpose? The one is heavy, tough. You're at breaking point. You're trying to perform. The other one is different. Hey, there's big challenges with your purpose. Faith challenges. God must come through. But it's not about validating you. Are you with me? Understand this? Awesome. He inspires us unto a purpose. Awesome. Let's go to our last point. Romans 12 is 4. For, as in one body, we have many members. And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. Okay. Third point, he teaches us how to have real relationship. Listen, we talk about this a lot, okay? God teaches us how to have real relationship. What is that? Okay. Follow me here. When a heart that is created by God, which is every heart, your life, your body, your spirit, He knows it. When it connects fully to God, something dawns on that heart. Contentment. I have found why I am created. I've met my Maker. Are you with me? When you move from that place into relationships with other people, you do relationships a lot different than when you do relationship as a means to be validated. Okay. Remember what we said last time. If I am a son of God, right? Not just by saving, but if I discovered Father God as my place in sonship, and my wife has done the same as a place before God, there's a tension that leaves our marriage. I do no longer have to do something for her in her heart. That is crucial, guys. Crucial. But the same for her. I don't need her to validate and to place value on me. She honors me and she loves me because that's what the Bible teaches. And I try to love her like Christ loves the church. But when I fail, it's okay. Because He gives her something I cannot give her. Are you with me? Beware. Beware. Don't just rush into marriage if this thing is not dealt with. Because you're going to get sweets. Okay? It's going to be tough. You will make it. If you're married at a young age and you hear that, God can change it. Can work with you. This is crucial. Okay, who knows what I'm talking about? Can I just see? You hear me? All right? Before I find my place as a son, each one of us, before we find our place, there's something in you, even if you don't know it, okay? It's there, and it sounds like this. It's something that testifies in your heart, and it says this. The world owes you something. All right, that's what it says. Your friends owes you something, and they better pay up. Your husband, he owes you something. He's in debt to you. Now, even if you haven't formulated it that way, it's in you. Because you know what? When they mess up, it comes up. I deserve better than this. No one talks to me like that. If you talk to me like that, I will talk to you like that. Okay? You've heard that. You've seen that. No one walks over me. All right? Yes, I just need the American woman accent then. But now follow this and use this to inspire hope and take it forward in your life. Someone who has found that validation with Christ, okay, where that sonship thing happened, they don't go to relationship, friendship or romantic anymore because they need something. They go because they are overflowing. Something is coming out of me. And you know what? Something is coming out of you. And you know what? This is awesome to be your friend. Okay? The guys at church, Theo Warren, Yella Owens, Bates, even if I'm just using the leadership guys as an example, it's so amazing when we come together because we don't need something from one another. But when we're flowing over and the water mixes, it's just awesome. Okay? We have the liberty to accidentally hurt one another. It's okay. It's covered for. We can make mistakes. You know what? Because I don't need to be made whole by you. But man, I enjoy you. Can you see the difference? The same thing with friendships like that. Because I don't need validation from Theo, this is important, he may, out of a good heart, criticize me. Okay? He may do it. He may tell me there's something that is you do wrong. And you know what? It's not the end of that relationship. Because you know what? I don't need him to only say good things about me. I need him to be real with me. Real relationships. What do you see in my life? Talk with me. But let me also say this. Especially if you're a believer, loving people, and you want to bring people nearer to Christ, you're going to have to do also with young people which will say things the wrong way to you. Hey, have grace for that. Absorb it. People have said stupid things to me, hurtful things. Just absorb it. Because they will also grow. That's okay. But if I'm not a son and something comes at me that I don't like, I freak out. Okay? Get my phone, tweet. Yes, ek het nou net met 'n ou gepraat, ek wil hom geslaan het. Send. Okay? But in your heart, you already validated. A work has been done. You know who you are. And that's amazing. That's where we're working towards. Do we get this 100% right? No. I don't get this 100% right. In fact, I lost my cool last yesterday on the rugby field. All right? With snotty remarks and stuff. And so I have to say, Lord, I'm a work in progress. But you know what? Then he prunes me and he waters me and you grow again. Okay? So, measure yourself. We're almost done. I want to ask you, give yourself a score out of 10. Okay? Don't shout it out. I don't want to humiliate you. Can someone correct you? Okay? It speaks to your position as a son or daughter. If your score is close to 0-1, we've got problems, all right? Don't worry, we'll walk around with you, we love you. Even if they are wrong, even if they're younger than you, may people come to you with feedback on something you are great with. You are the expert. Can people come to you and talk to you about it? It's difficult. It's difficult when you work and pray into sermons and people come to you and say, you should say it that way. And I've had that before as well. And then if I want to get mad, are you going to tell me now what to do? Okay, so then God exposes it. It must be difficult if you call in Warren, busting your whatever, in the week, we've got no paid staff here on the stage, and someone comes and says, yeah, you know what, you, that note was wrong. That's difficult, okay? But what's your expertise? Where do you function? Can someone come to you with feedback? or is there this wall when they come? Okay? Speaks of sonship. Secondly, does it come easy for you to say, I was wrong. I messed up. Please forgive me. It speaks about sonship. You see, the son knows it's okay to humble myself because I'm lifted up in God's sight. In any case, the Bible says, those who are humble, he will lift up. So normally someone who is secure is absolutely at ease to say, I messed up. Please forgive me. I'll do my best not to do that again. Okay? Is that easy or is that hard? How hard is it for you to handle tension in a relationship? Okay? Can you go into a tension situation with someone you love, a friend, and say, listen, I feel there's something up here. Something is not feeling okay yet. Okay, now I do want to say, granted, for some people, it's easier personality-wise to engage conflict, but it also speaks to sonship. Because you know, it doesn't matter what happens in that conversation, you are loved and you're embraced by God. So you go and you take the tension out of the relationship. And then the last one, can you walk away from an abusing relationship? Okay? Because I want to say this as well. The devil loves it when you're a slave in a relationship that hurts you. So I just want to give that side of the coin as well. There's times when you need to get out. And there's some brave people here that has done that. Well done. Because you know why you stay? Because no one else will love me. No one else will care for me. So it doesn't matter what he or she does, you're always back. Can you walk away and trust God? Can you walk away from a relationship even if it's been years? Okay? Listen, I trust you know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying if your husband forgets to take out the trash that you now come to me and say, I'm walking away from abusing relationship, okay? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Remember, he sets the lonely in families. So maybe for some of you, you've got friends out there that's been in relationships that is breaking them down. You know what? Something like that can kill someone. And kill their destiny. You go to your friend and say, listen, God sets the lonely in families. Walk out of this relationship. Come to church with me. We've got a family. You want it and need it and loved. Amen? I've got two thoughts for you and then we're done. Every relationship you have reveals something to you about your growth in God. Okay? Your relationship with friends, your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your boss. Sorry, but it's true. Your relationship with those under you. Okay? Although that love is expressed differently, but the same love that you have for your father, okay, your father on earth or your friends in church, you should be able to channel to those working below you at work. It's called integrity. Integrity of heart. Okay? Very difficult. Because the other examples in the workplace shows us a different direction. Okay? Every relationship you have reveals something to you about your growth in God. I just want to say this quickly. If you go like this, okay, emotional roller coaster, all right, when it comes to relationships, what people say, don't say, what you've heard, if you go like this, it speaks to your position as a son. Okay? You will have ups and downs, but as soon as you are found in the courts of God as his son, you tend to go like this. All right? Because what validates you is God, and he never changes. Isn't that amazing? Never changes his mind about you. He loves you in and out of season. That means always. Okay? And the last thing I want to say is, only when he shows you who you are do you really start living. Okay, so are you alive tonight or are you living? Okay? Are you flourishing as a plant? If I can use that analogy, if God made you plant, gives you water and stuff, are you flourishing and bearing fruit and feeding other people and making shade for them, or are you barely surviving? Okay? So praise the Lord, I'm still standing at Taki. But Lord, wow. Bible says, he who obeys the word of God, who hears it, who takes it, is like a tree that is planted by the rivers. So, I'm carrying on with that analogy. If you're a tree, you can decide in the desert or by the waters. Same with sonship. Are you going to be a stranger to God's love or are you going to be a son? Same needs to happen to each one of us as with the prodigal son. He came to himself, the scripture says. I think it's Luke 15 verse 17. He came to himself and he went back home to the same father. Something happened. Something changed. Are you with me tonight? Let's stand tonight.